G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, December 1, summer already. I'm John Barker, joining me as usual, Joel Marshall. And Joel, the highlight this weekend is the Crown Perth Winter Bottom Stakes, which is the middle pin of the Masters Series in WA. And as I've written in Best Bets and Winning Posts this week, you'd think that this would be the one that the locals would dominate, given that WA produces so many great sprinters, but quite the opposite. I think we've had, last week the Railway was won by the visitors for about the sixth time in a row, and something like, five of the last seven of the Winterbottom Stakes, or since they raised it to Group 1, five of the seven runnings of the Winterbottom Stakes have been won by the visitors. And with the last start flop of Enticing Star, albeit she was in season, she's also drawn a wide barrier, the visitors are dominating discussions once again.
They certainly are. The visitors are coming off some mixed runs as well. Malaguera's got a duck egg, Vidora's got a duck egg, Voodoo Lad's got an eighth, and Ashlaw and Runson are probably the two that are considered a rung below those ones, and they've got the ones, they've got the form on the board, they've got to step up to that stronger class. So I guess, you know, if the Perth horse has got to bounce back, so do a couple of the key Eastern State raiders.
All right, well, let's just get stuck straight into it, because that is in fact the only black type race on the middle day of the Ascot Carnival. Standard weight for age, it's worth $1 million. It is the Crown Perth Winter Bottom Stakes. It is race 7 at Ascot on Saturday. Check your local guides, but that is 7:50 Eastern Daylight Time.
Ended up going with Malaguera. He's never really sort of been one of a horse of mine to be honest, but he's obviously a talented horse. I just haven't been with him at the right time. I gave him a bit of a chance first up in the Manicato, and unfortunately barrier one, it was just always going to be a recipe for disaster, wasn't it? And he got back and never really got into the race, just sort of traffic around him, and we didn't really seem get to be fully wound up. They've been back to the trials, blinkers first time, so maybe at start 31, blinkers on, can just spark him up and give him that extra length that he needs. He really doesn't need to find much on his best form. He's a clear winning hope if he's at his best. And I think a decent barrier too, barrier 7, it should be able to get him into a nice spot. Benny Malum, and I've lent his way. I thought number 7, Ashlaw, might be a bit of a roughie worth including. He's obviously got to step up a fair bit in class. He's known more as a sort of a benchmark fringe open handicap player here in Victoria, but he's a go-forward horse. He's a good, strong on-pacer, and that can be suited at Ascot. Interesting, there should be a fair bit of pace because the three-year-old goes reasonably quickly, Valero, then you've got Belter, and of course Runson and Ashlaw can go pretty quick too. So I just think Ashlaw might, if you're looking for something at a bit of value to throw in, 13 Enticing Star, she was just the next best thing since sliced bread until her latest defeat, and she was in season there, so perhaps that's an excuse. And before that, she was 8 from 8, and people were saying what a star she was. So I guess 1,200 metres, she's unbeaten at the trip. They're suggesting that she was going to be looking for further in time, but they've kept her fresh, and she gets the blinkers on too. And number 10, I've put into fourth of Adora, last year's winner, and she was excellent in the Moyer and can forgive the run in the Everest on the heavy track. She's drawn well also. So they're my top four, but I think it's pretty open. I think you can make case for a fair few others.
Okay, well, fun fact about the Winterbottom: no winner since Marasco in 2006 has come off a last start finish worse than sixth. So that's bad news for your selection, Malaguera. Also bad news for Vidora and Voodoo Lad. They are in fact the only ones in the race that are coming off finishes worse than sixth. The favourite, however, good news for Vidora, has won the Winterbottom in 8 of the past 14 years. Punters usually fairly on the ball for this race. And the other fun fact, barriers 7 to 10, I think, have produced the last 6 winners. Good news for Malaguera, also Ashlaw, also C. Annie, and I'll have a bit in those red-hot gates at the moment. BJ Ryan, for what it's worth, is on Vidora, and he was on Galaxy Star last week, so probably is worth a bit. And BJ's best race 3, number 8, Spilling Over. Value bet race 4, number 7, Song of Vincent. Did you have any further and better particulars other races at Ascot, Joel?
Well, my best was Platoon in race 4. He's on the backup from last week's Guineas. He'd finished second to Acadia Queen 3 runs back, so you'd have to think he's pretty well placed. He does obviously take on the older horses, but down in the weights, he's a pretty talented colt, so I've lent his way as the best. And value in the last race, Beau Count, he'll likely get out to a big lead. He likes to get up and get out and get going. Step up in distance, 2100, that's obviously a bit of a query, but it might just mean that there's a bit less pressure on him, and if he's left alone to do his own thing, might give a good sight. He's been around the mark of lately, yet to win at Ascot. That's the little query. He's had seven goes, but might be worth a little bit each way in the last.
Back east, summer has arrived, and in Sydney and Brisbane, we have black type racing as we build up to some of the summer highlights in those states. But out of habit, we'll just start in Melbourne, and the racing there is at the Valley. Joel, what did you find for us there?
Tricky meeting and not a lot of confidence, but I've stuck to early in the day. Our Long Sally, race three, is my best. She had trialled well before the first up run at Mooney Valley. She was pretty good there against the pattern, and then they went to Flemington down the straight, and you can be a bit forgiving for that. She drew near the inside, and as it was, she wasn't beaten too far. There's been some winning form out of that straight track race since. Gets a claim, gets a good draw. She can settle a bit closer at 1200. I think she'll be hard to beat. I do have a bit of time for No Joy, so if she's, you know, a decent odds where you can sort of back two horses, then I might have a little saver on her because I don't mind that SA-trained filly. And race two, tricky two-year-old race, a lot of newcomers, handy trialers among them. I thought number seven, Florier Pica, had shown enough to warrant a bit of thought. Drawn wide, and Hayes Dabernick team have got two others in it that are drawn well, so whether they elect to scratch and find another day, I'm not sure. But well-related. The first jump out was okay, and then the next one, blinkers went on, and he really seemed to pick up. Began better, was stronger through the line, and was fighting out the finish. So got a bit of time for Florier Pica, and I might have a little look at him. And Our Long Sally and No Joy in the third, and that's probably about it, not too much else. Lycurgus, who I was keen on last week in the Ballarat Cup, they scratched with the downgrading of the track. He'll go all right in race eight, but he might peak next Saturday in the Pakenham Cup when up in distance.
Righto, well, you can get your get all your big bets out of the way early at the Valley on Saturday, because Joel's race two and three, I'm at race four and five, if you're interested, and you should be, because last week best was Haunted, value was Khartoum, if Khartoum, you don't mind, right, bet of the week, so, no spoilers at this stage as to what my bet of the week's going to be, as in fact, I haven't actually made up mine. Race four, number one, Five Kingdom is my best at Mooney Valley, one of the worst city Saturday races there's been for a while. The benchmark 64 worth 60,000. I thought Five Kingdom might be the best horse in the race. Has the 61.5, but gets the three off for Lockie King. And Shock Aura, race five, number three, I'm certainly well worth forgiving for last time. Another Hayes Dabernick and Lockie King special, but in fact is $4.20 on the second line of betting. Not the most generous value bet of all time. Pretty typical John Barker special, really. As I mentioned, there is black type in Sydney. It is at Rosehill Gardens. The main race is the Festival Stakes, of course, building up to the Villiers. But the first of the black type races, a small but select field, Joel, of these 2,000 to 2,400 metre types. It is the ATC Cup listed. It's 2,000 metres. Our old friend Destiny's Kiss will line up, but it's not 2,400.
No, it's not. And just, well, the track they're tipping, latest reports is that it's going to be in the soft range. They did get a lot of rain yesterday. They were tipping, I thought, much more, and I thought there was every chance we could be playing on a heavy track, but doesn't seem likely, so that makes his task a bit tougher. On with number three, Our Century. Hard to jump off. He was really good first up. Good training performance to resume at 1,900. Actually drops a half kilo on that, and I don't think he'll go backwards second up at this sort of distance. Savakul's been really well backed early. I think she was 270, 280 into about even money. And she's easy to like. She's got a good finish on her. She's got the minimum 53. She can handle soft. Excellent opportunity for black type for her. So she's the hardest to beat. Abdon in for 30. Keeps racing well without winning. And I have thrown Destiny's Kiss in for fourth. If it remains quite wet, that's obviously gives him his best chance.
All right, the traditional Villiers lead up is race six. The Festival Stakes, group three, worth 160 over 1,500.
Tricky little race. You can sort of come up with negatives for a lot of these, and you know, the odd positive as well. It's difficult. I've gone for one where you can clearly come up with negatives for. He hasn't won in a long time, 615 days, number seven, Spectroscope. He hasn't been on many soft tracks in that time. Ideally, you'd want it sort of a soft six range, and on, you know, on the worst side of soft for him, I reckon. He's going okay. His first up run was good. He loomed up with the 59 and just missed in a three-way go behind Torgerson and Sambro. Went down to Melbourne, didn't have much luck. He got squeezed out at the start and then didn't have a lot of room in the final 200 metres. Just banking on a soft track, helping him third up. So I've lent his way from Nine Goodfella. This might be the one, and he's opened up pretty tight in markets. He hasn't raced since October 13, so he comes in fresh. Used to carrying big weights, he gets in on the minimum, he can handle the soft, and he'll press forward. So he might be the one that's hard to beat. Four Pecans, has a really good record. She was good first up. 58 against the boys, that's the little question mark. And one, Shamoy Road, I thought was overs at around the $11 or $12. He's very consistent, doesn't run badly.
And the last of the black type events at Rose Hill on Saturday is race 7, Starlight Stakes, 1100 metre listed race, just worth $140,000. I reckon they might, they used to run this at Canterbury on, at night, didn't they? They got a night meeting at Canterbury. Yeah. Why wouldn't you just give that meeting a little bit of a boost? But anyway, here it is, 1100. What do you like here?
Well, it's a question mark, this race, because Invincible Star has been sort of up and down this prep. I mean, she's run third to Redzel, second in the shorts. Fifth in the Manicato, she had the on-pace pattern to suit, but she held on well. She's had a couple of flops around that. She's never raced on anything but a good track. So, queries, you know, how long has she been up and how she handles the ground. But I thought she'd open favourite. As it is, she's open second favourite, around 420, 440. So, I've got her on top because the best of her would take beating. Five Badajoz I've got in for second. He hasn't been firing this prep, but I thought he had a couple of luckless runs in Melbourne. Last run in Sydney, look, others ran home better, but he drew wide with a big weight. He's got 53, barrier 1, and he handles soft track, so he might just be a big improver. One in for third, Deploy. He is a talent, and you can see that with his 61 kilos. He's won 8 from 18, 7 from 11 since being gelded. Pulled up with issues after his only run earlier in the year, but he returns on Saturday off a couple of good trials. And in for fourth, number 6, Marsupial, who was strong coming from the back last time out, and he is the horse that's open favourite, and yeah, he's certainly got a strong chance, but I think he might be unders.
All right, we haven't got to your best and value, so talk us through those.
My best is in the last, and he will need to be on his game second up, Asterius, because there are a few chances in this, but he's a very promising galloper. He was very good last prep, winning 2 from 3. The only failure was when he finished last, and he bled in the run, so he went to the spell for his mandatory break. His first up run, he wasn't expected to do a lot. He drew wide, went back. He was 40-1, but really loved the way he closed off. He only finished 8th, but beat less than 2 lengths, running up onto the heels of those in front of him. He gets to 1500 second up. As I said, he will improve with the run, but he's a talent, and I think his class will take him close. And my value bet is Gongs, race 2. Just hoping she can find her best back in Sydney. A 3-year-old, 4-year-old race. So the 3-year-olds get in with light weight. She's in with 52.5. Didn't handle the valley first up. I thought her Caulfield run was okay at 1400. And then last time out, down the straight, be a bit forgiving. And she did run past last week's heavily backed winner, The Closer. So maybe an improver, Gongs, at around the $10 mark.
All right, they're racing on the Parks track in Adelaide at Morfordville. And we get to some stakes racing next week, but this is small fields, cozy little meeting. James Jordan's Gems, first of them, quite price for by the usual Gems standard. This one's marked in the winning post at $7.50. That's race 6, number 2. He is golden, racing really well of late. Got a third, a win, and a third. And this doesn't look any tougher than those. Wasn't the best to begin last start. Had to run home against the pattern. And from gate 2 with a cleaner getaway, should settle closer and give a fright to the favourite, which is number 3, Over and Above. And James's other gem is in the last race, 8, number 8, Going Gaga, a bit shorter at about $2.60. All three runs this preparation outstanding. Repeat of any of those should see him win this, despite the outside gate, the caution. About that outside gate from James is they need to be able to make ground on the day, so just make sure they are before you load up too heavily on race 8, number 8, Going Gaga. No thoughts on Adelaide, Joel?
No, nothing for me this week there.
Doomben, the venue for Brisbane racing. First day of summer, we do start to warm up with some black type races. The first of them is race 7, Mark Cotterill Master Jeweler Mode Stakes. 1,200 metres for 3-year-old fillies at listed level.
And my value bet for the day comes up here. Number 3, Malahide from the Michael Costa Yard. In form, Michael Costa. I think last count, 9 winners from last 17 starters. So, stable on fire. This filly looked pretty smart in her first prep. Went from a maiden win to a Saturday win at start 2. She resumes here and really liked her trial. She hit the line strongly. Look, Outback Barbie, very easy to mark as favourite. And she's got form around Pure Relation, Fiesta. If she's anywhere near right, she takes a stack of beating. But Malahide's already had some specking. I think double figures into around $7, drawn well. And I thought she would be hard to beat from Outback Barbie. 7 in for third, voila. Coming off a run down the straight at Flemington behind Blair Roche, which was a nice effort. And number 6 in for fourth, Red Dalton. Possibly wants a bit further. Got held up and no luck last start. So she's going to go around 60, 70 to 1. If you're looking for a roughie for your first fours, maybe throw number 6 in.
And the main race of the day is race 8, TAB George Moore Stakes, 1,200 metre handicap at Group 3 level.
I've gone for number 2, Care to Think, hoping his class can get him through, drawn a good barrier for a change. He's a horse that often comes up with bad gates, and his winter carnival was plagued by them. But his first up run in the 10,000 in the winter was very good, beaten 2 lengths by English. That's the right sort of form for this. His trial was just okay, but I think he's a race day performer, and he'll be hard to beat with any luck. 5 tie zone wide and still kept battling on well first up. 6 Victorum was also very good in the Keith Nowt. I think that pair can turn the tables on those that finished in front of him, like I'm a Ripper, and most important, I think they can probably turn the tables on them. But I'm a Ripper's very genuine. I've thrown him in for fourth.
Okay, and your best, as you mentioned, Malahide was your value bet, race 7, number 3. Your best comes up in the last, and it's a unanimous selection from the winning post panel, and that's race 9, number 12, Oink.
He's been frustrating to follow. 9 runs since his last win, and he's figured in the placings at 7 of them. So surely a win is close. First up run was excellent. He's drawn wide, but I think there's a bit of pace on to suit. And he's going to be strong at 1350. I really think there's only 3 or 4 winning hopes. So he's going to be thereabouts at $4. You know, if he can get even money a place, well, then he looks a really good each way bet to close off the day.
Okay, across the Tasman, we have Black Type Racing at both Ellerslie and Whanganui.
Yeah, Ellerslie, it is a twilight meeting, so friendly for the Aussie punters. First race 12:30, last race 10:05, so fits in nicely for the rest of the day. Giovanni Canaletto is my best. Possibly one run soon, but he's a talent. He's a former Hong Kong galloper, placed in the Hong Kong Derby, had a long time off, but we often see these ex-Hong Kong horses go back to New Zealand or go to New Zealand or come to Aussie and really find their best form. His first up run was good. He went through his gears nicely late. He got back. It was a race he couldn't win, but I thought he ran on well. Kept fresh, 1,600 suits. I think Love Affair, probably the only danger down towards the bottom, number 10. My value is Jip Jip Rock in the listed 3-year-old race, race 5. There was raps on this galloper before the first start and was a bit disappointing, missing a place, but bounced back with a 5-length maiden win. I think can go on with the job in a pretty open race. A few of these coming off maiden wins, so you just never know how they take the next step. The other meeting is Whanganui. Best is Vinnaby, a wide gate in the first, number 10, but both runs excellent and just needs a little bit of luck to be winning this, I would have thought. And value bet is Eileen Grace, race 6, number 7. First up run was very good, got a long way back last time, never really got into the race. Smaller field, can settle a bit closer, hopefully, and is worth another chance.
Okay, that wraps up a big Saturday of racing around Australasia. Don't forget to pick up your winning post if you haven't already, because we've got not only the Saturday form, as always, we've got Friday Twilight. There's a few Friday Twilights, Friday Nights. We've got Canterbury and Cranbourne. And, of course, we take you right through to Sunday with fields for Monday as well. Highlight on Sunday, undoubtedly, Warrnambool, Race 8, Hames Paint Jericho Cup. 4,600 metres on the flat, through the paddocks. Worth $300,000, restricted to Australian and New Zealand breds, and entry determined by points scored in lead-up races. They've run them in every state of Australia. Mainly Victorian horses have ended up in it, but there's a few others. The Longmires have got one in there. What did you What did you make? You've actually made your best of the day in the Jericho Cup, Joel.
Well, you know, it is a tricky affair. I mean, how many of these horses are going to run the trip? There's a few of them in form, though, at least. But, yeah, the Dominator, I think, and none more so in form. He's going super. He won at Stawell, won at Echuca, dropped back to 2,300 at Ballarat last week, behind Cartoon, who we mentioned earlier, and I thought his run was excellent, considering he was coming back in distance. It was just a nice pipe opener for this week. And, look, he's won to 3,600. That was at Stawell three starts ago. So he gives the impression that he'll see out the trip. I think he is the one to beat. But, Darren Weir's got a couple of strong hopes, truly high, and Penthouse Playboy. And High Mode was very unpaced last start at Mini Valley, but I don't think he'll have any problems with the trip. So it's a pretty open race, but I think the Dominator's going really well.
All right, and the other feature on Sunday is the Traralgon Cup. Our Daniel Nuttall, who no doubt will be introduced to the podcast in weeks to come, he is going with the Mitch Friedman trained Not To Know, race 7, number 6 at Traralgon. Finally, our best $20 bet of the weekend, Joel.
Tricky. Can he break the drought? Yeah, I'll go with Oink, race 9, number 12. Last race of the day, 7 o'clock. Eastern time, so you'll have a bit of a bank, hopefully, or you'll be looking to blast out. I think he will be very hard to beat. He will give you a great sight anyway. Oink in the last at moment.
And I'll go to the Valley, race 4, number 1, Five Kingdom. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.